Hello, and welcome to Nostalgia Arcana. I'm your host, Doug Leaf. Each episode of this podcast, we'll look back on the movies, TV, games, people, and phenomena that we still love talking about all these years later, and ask ourselves why these bits of pop culture still enchant us today. This week, we'll be revisiting...
Many movies about Adam Sandler and anger management problems, but this is not a podcast about anger management. We're going back to the beginning with Happy Gilmore, a film that is easily the best golf film ever made, kicks the shit out of Tin Cup. So I'm really excited to talk about this movie. This is actually the first time I've seen it, so I've got a lot of thoughts on it, but not a lot of nostalgic memories. But fortunately, our guest does. He's been on the show before to talk about Pokemon, and I had the pleasure of guesting on his show, Tales from the Backlog, a little while ago to talk about The Secret of Monkey Island. So very, very glad to have him back. Please welcome back to the podcast, Dave Jackson.
Thank you, Doug. That's right. Caddyshack, eat your heart out. We're here to talk about the best golf movie of all time.
Yeah, I like Caddyshack, but Caddyshack is kind of a mess, and this is a little more focused. So, but I'd be down to do a Caddyshack episode someday too. It's a lot of people love it for good reason. But
yeah,
but Dave, let's start where we always start. Tell me about your nostalgic memories of Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, so let's see what year did Happy Gilmore come out? I should have done a little bit of research besides having an entire life of watching the movie over and over again.
I want to say 95, but I could be
96,
off on that.
96. Yeah, you're okay. Close. So I was 8 in 1996. So I grew up. My childhood was kind of defined by a couple of these comedies in the style that they did in like the mid to late 90s or early 90s too, with Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey and people like that. So Happy Gilmore, The Waterboy, Big Daddy were like big parts of like my movie watching like childhood. After I was old enough to like stop watching The Land Before Time and Homeward Bound and stuff like that, then we moved into more like funny stuff. Happy Gilmore was one of those movies that I've seen dozens of times throughout my life. So this has been like a big part of my growing up enjoying comedy. Like Adam Sandler was like a formative figure in that.
Yeah, I don't have any nostalgic memories of this particular movie, but I have plenty of memories of Adam Sandler because I was born in 1980, so my like SNL cast coming up was mostly his cast. It was him, right. Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, David Spade, Kevin Nealon, Tim Meadows, like that era of just probably still to this day the best SNL cast outside of the originals. I certainly watched my share of him on SNL, and I've seen my share of Sandler movies, just not this particular one until now. But this is definitely, like you said, from this era in the 90s where, like, if you were, a big comedy star, I don't want to say you'd be necessarily pigeonholed, but there was definitely, like, a thing you did. And they wanted you to come into a movie and do that thing, even if, like with Jim Carrey, it took on very different forms from movie to movie. Like his character, Ace Ventura, and his character in The Mask or Liar Liar are all very different, but it's all Jim Carrey shtick. Yeah. And Adam Sandler is kind of the same way.
Yeah, Robin Williams, similar type of character that he played for a while. And then he started to branch out more, as all of these actors do as they, kind of, quote, age out of just doing these goofy comedies and stuff like that. But yeah, this was a quite an era for like comedians. I feel like you either got like a sitcom or you became like these movie stars, and they were some of the biggest, most profitable movie stars of the era, which is just very different from how it is today with comedies and with, you know, the big leading stars and stuff like that. So like originally when we were talking about the episode, that kind of era of comedy was the original idea. And then we narrowed it down and and settled on Happy Gilmore because it's kind of emblematic of this trend, right? Like it's the premise of it where you just have this comedic actor doing his character, like his, the famous version of his character, like this man child character as a golfer. And that's the premise of the movie. That's the entire thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is a vehicle in like the truest sense of the word vehicle. Like we're going to, this is a, you know, a loose structure of a movie that we're going to give to Adam Sandler to do Adam Sandler stuff.
Yeah.
So much so that like, I was thinking like, could you imagine this script just on paper and go, well, who else could play this Happy Gilmore character? And it's almost impossible. Like the only other people you can think of are these other like 90s comedy stars who made their bones as these kind of man children. So like Chris Farley could play this character. Like there's a version of Happy Gilmore with him in it.
Yeah. Or Will Ferrell or someone like that. Like just these big personality type comedians. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of whom would have an impressive improv background. You know, these guys would all come up through the Groundlings or Second City. Like, so even though like this is one kind of character they would be asked to do over and over again, they would have the skills to like, you know, really make this work. And you can imagine there's got to be like, you know, 2.5 movies worth of stuff on the cutting room floor. Riffing on these things. And, you know, they're going with the best takes. But, you know, that's okay because like you are buying the ticket to see like Adam Sandler do Adam Sandler stuff.
Yeah.
And of his movies, this is easily one of the best. I think, you know, probably The Wedding Singer is maybe the most consistent like of a film from beginning to end, like as one of those things, like it kind of holds together a little stronger, I think. But this is right up there. I mean, this is, you know, really well done. It's got Tim Herlihy as the main writer who was an SNL writer for many years. Like you'll see his name all over Sandler stuff, like, you know, reliable colleague for Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Yeah. This is in that kind of like golden run of Adam Sandler and like this era of his career with, you know, like you said, The Wedding Singer and Billy Madison and this and The Waterboy, all the way through maybe like Mr. Deeds was probably like the last one, or maybe even Click if you want to go that far or something like that. But it was definitely this era in his career when it was like, okay, Adam Sandler is going to play roughly the same character. But he's a golfer in this movie. In this movie, he goes back to elementary school. In this movie, he has to adopt a kid, like, on short notice. Like, and we'll see what happens. And it gradually gets, like, a little bit more mature as it goes, but not by much until you get to Click, basically. And then, like, there's some stuff along the way, like what was that movie? Punch Drunk Love, which I never watched, but I heard was a more like, you know, quote, serious movie.
That's his like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to break out of my mold. I'll do something dramatic. And by all accounts, I haven't seen it either, but by all accounts, very, very great performance from him.
Yeah,
and again, he did that recent one where he's like a jewel.
Oh, Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. That is not a funny movie. He's really good in that movie. It's actually a very intense and anxiety inducing movie, but he's really good in it. So like, I mean, I think that these conversations about like comedians who like have the chops to do serious roles. And it turns out that most of them can, because I think part of a comedian, like, I think good comedians can pretty easily turn in a serious role every now and then. It's just like, if they happen to also be like pretty good actors, then they can do it more consistently. Like Will Ferrell did it. Adam Sandler did it. Robin Williams went in that direction. Like, I think that,
I mean, see all of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Right. Like you got the dad from Malcolm in the Middle, Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these guys turn out to be really good because one of the core elements, I think, of being a good comedian is being able to really understand the fine tuning of how timing and performance works, regardless of whether the emotion you want on the other end is laughter or, you know, terror or something else. It's all the same ultimate science. So these guys who are like, yeah, I know how to evoke an emotion. Yeah. I'm just going to change gears and do a different one. But yeah, these guys all have the skills to do that.
Right. But back in like this era, Adam Sandler was not asked to do it very often. This was like, he gets to be silly, he gets to get mad, he gets to yell, he gets to throw stuff. Like, this is that era of Adam Sandler.
Yeah. And that's not to say it isn't good, because he's very, very good at it. Yeah. And he does this for a reason, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not quite as like, this is a little bit more grown up feeling than a lot of his characters that he did on SNL, or even Billy Madison, was still like very much on like the SNL side of like the man-child spectrum. He's definitely like angry and immature and everything as a character in Happy Gilmore, but it's not quite, it's a little
bit. He's not a child.
Yeah, he's not a child like he was in Billy Madison.
Right, right. And again, not just a one note bit either. I mean, he had all these great SNL characters, but some of them were really abstracted and weird things. Yeah. You know, like Opera Man could not sustain a movie.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
let's get into it, because there's a lot to talk about in this movie. It's a lot of fun. And I'm, like I said, I'm really glad you brought this to me, because this has been like one of these things, like, why have I not gotten around to seeing this? All right, so we open with a lot of just sort of stock footage of, you know, home movies and this Lynyrd Skynyrd song. And we get not Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, telling us about his childhood.
My name is Happy Gilmore. Ever since I was old enough to skate, I loved hockey. Wasn't really the greatest skater, though. But that didn't stop my dad from teaching me the secret of smacking the greatest slap shot. My dad worshipped hockey. My mom didn't. That's why she moved to Egypt, where there's not a hockey rink within 1,500 miles. Dad always took me to games to cheer for our favorite player, Terry O'Reilly, the Tasmanian Devil. He wasn't the biggest guy in the league, but he feared nobody, just like me. Handsome fella, huh? He always said that when I grew up, I could be anything I wanted to be. But I never wanted to be anything but a hockey player. Yeah, my childhood was going great, but life is full of surprises. After the funeral, I was sent to live with my grandma in Waterbury.
His mom kind of boned out early and left for Egypt. His dad died when he was young, but taught him the greatest slap shot, and like Mighty Ducks level slap shot we'll see later.
Yeah, his mom left for Egypt because his dad was so obsessed with hockey. She moved to the one place on Earth where there's no hockey rinks at all. So that's why she moved to Egypt.
Yep, and we never hear from her again.
Nope.
So a hockey puck killed his dad.
Yeah.
A rogue hockey puck. So he goes to live with his grandma, and his grandma is awesome. Like, she dresses like Gene Simmons to like cheer him up, you know, kind of get him out of his funk. And but we learn that after dad died, he developed a very short fuse, and he wanted to be a hockey player, but he couldn't make the cut. He used his skate to stab someone, which we'll reference later.
He said that he holds two records as a hockey player. Most penalty minutes and being the only guy who took off his skate and tried to stab somebody.
Right. So he takes a bunch of odd jobs, which all end in him pretending to like hump something.
Yeah.
he's working at construction, although he nail gunned his boss by accident, who is Richard Kiel is his boss.
Yep.
Who's best known for Jaws in the James Bond franchise.
Yeah, exactly. And then I want to say one of his later more prominent roles was in Happy Gilmore as, you know, his boss. And then later on, I'm sure we'll talk about his role as the movie progresses. But he's really funny in this movie.
he's extremely funny. And like, it's awesome. Because the first time I was like, oh, that's a Sloth from the Goonies out of makeup. But I had to go look at it. I'm like, no, it's not John Matuszek. It's it's Richard Kiel. But like, what an awesome thing to give him a chance to be comedic. Yeah. There's a lot of that, I think, in this movie, especially with, you know, I mean, Carl Weathers had done, rest in peace, Carl Weathers, had done comedic things before and after this, but like, you mostly think of him as an action star or, you know, Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies, but he's incredibly funny here. Like, everybody just turns into great comedic performance, not just Adam Sandler.
Yeah, Bob Barker gets a chance to be a little mean and funny in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Easily a career highlight for Bob Barker. And so, yeah, so we see Happy trying to make the hockey team, and he doesn't make the cut, and he just starts beating the coach senseless.
Yeah.
You know, he's got problems.
Yeah.
He's got...
He gets home. Yeah, he gets home. His girlfriend leaves him because he's just like... trying out for the hockey team every year. He's like, he's got to be like 30 in the movie, but he's still trying to be a pro hockey player. He's terrible. So his girlfriend leaves him. There's a funny bit at the beginning when he's like trying to get her to come back, and he's talking over like the apartment intercom, like trying to like sweet talk her to come back, and she leaves like halfway through it, and this old lady comes up and starts listening, and he's talking about like, oh, just come inside, I'll make you feel good, honey. And then like this old lady shows up at the door, and he's like, well, might as well.
Terry, wait, hold on a second, babe.
Yeah.
You're not going for good, are you, honey?
You're going nowhere, Happy, and you're taking me with you. All you ever talk about is being a pro hockey player, but there's a problem. You're not any good.
I am good. You know what? You're a lousy kindergarten teacher. I've seen those finger paintings you bring home, and they suck. I'm sorry, babe. I didn't mean that. I think they're excellent finger paintings. Please, don't go.
I am not spending the rest of my life with a loser. I'm gone.
Good, then get the hell out of my life. Who needs you? Beat it. Leave me alone. I'm sorry, babe. I didn't mean that either. I just yell sometimes because I get so scared. Scared of being a nobody. Why don't you just come back upstairs, honey? I'll give you the old smoochy-smoo kissy-wissy. Hmm? You know Happy's gonna make everything okay. I wanna kiss you all over and over and again. I wanna kiss you all over. Dun, dun, dun. The night closes in. The night closes in.
Yeah, they do that in a way where you don't see that last turn coming. Because at first it's like he's, you know, he's desperately trying to get the girl to come back. He's like singing to her or something.
Yeah.
And they're using editing to like, so they cut and she's not there anymore and he's still talking, which is funny. And they cut back to him and they cut back again. And now there's a crowd gathered, including this old lady. but they don't really let you know that he slept with the older lady until it's the following morning.
Right. Yeah.
Like they really do a good job of like, we're going to put one more turn of the screw in there to make this joke just that much sillier. So the phone rings and it's grandma, and he takes off to her house, where we find out grandma is in a heap of trouble because she hasn't paid taxes in a decade.
Right. Yeah. She owes like $270,000 or something like that. And so the people are like moving furniture out of her house as he arrives, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guy moving the furniture, the primary guy moving all the stuff out, is Robert Smigel, who, audience would best know as Triumph, the insult comic dog.
Oh, okay.
Conan O'Brien. But yeah, I mean, long running SNL writer, you know, very well known, like guy in comedy writing circles. People don't know him as much as a performer because he usually is, behind the scenes or behind the little Doberman puppet that is Triumph. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very funny guy. I love that he's like the IRS agent is giving him this like, well, here's the deal. She owes $270,000. We have 90 days to get the money, or we take the house and sell it. And the guy just goes, "You hate me, don't you?" And then the next thing is cut to him being thrown through a window.
Yeah.
Your grandmother hasn't paid her taxes in over a decade.
What? Grandma, you didn't pay your taxes?
I would have, but I didn't have any money.
Where are you taking all her stuff? I'm not taking her stuff, okay? The government is. It's not like I'm taking her stuff over to my place or something like that, all right? So don't get mad at me.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old. You can't just take her stuff. She's too old.
I'm sorry. I have no discretion here. Her stuff is now our stuff.
Well, at least we got the house, right? I mean, I can bring furniture from my place over here. We're going to be okay, Grandma.
Now you're really going to be mad. I have to take the house, too.
No, look, pal. My grandfather built this house with his bare hands. My grandma's been here over 60 years. You can't take her house.
Mrs. Gilmore owes the IRS $270,000 in back taxes.
Oh, my God.
We have to take the house. And if you can't get the money together in 90 days, we're going to have to sell the house to someone else. You hate me, don't you?
No, I don't hate you.
He hates me.
And he gets up off the ground and he's like, yeah, he definitely hates me.
Yeah. Again, like the cartoon logic of that, of like, he doesn't like get up and immediately like call the police or like an ambulance or
right,
anything.
Exactly.
He's just like, yeah. Oh my goodness, I deserve that. You know,
yeah.
Very, you
know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get to another really funny recurring bit in the movie, which is he takes his mom to like a rest home, the Silver Acres.
Oh yeah.
Rest home, yeah. For her. And like you start quickly realizing like, this is a terrible place. There's like a, you know, a woman like lands on the hood of their car and is like screaming, like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
You
know, Mista, get me out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. And at first you think it's like a one-off bit, but then they kind of like, as he like, Ben Stiller is like the guy from the nursing home, like yeah. Shows her around. And then like every time that like Happy's kind of like off screen or out of like earshot, we see him like kind of turn to like the grandma and like give her a gesture. Like, don't you dare say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It starts out really nice. Cause he's like, you know, as he's dropping her off and leaving the room, he goes up and like kind of talks to Ben Stiller's character. He's like the orderly that's going to take care of her. And he gives her this speech, like, you know, this old lady, she's very special to me. Please take care of her. And he like tries to tip him, but it's $1. He's tipping him $1. And he's like, yeah, Ben Stiller's like, I'm sorry, I can't accept this. But what I can do is I can take great care of that sweet little lady. And he leaves. And then she has this line. And it's like, this is one of those lines from Happy Gilmore that like, I remember my friend group, like we quoted to each other all the time, where she's like, could I trouble you for a glass of warm milk? It helps put me to sleep.
Oh, pardon me, but it's nap time.
All right, Matt, that sounds nice.
You go.
I love you.
I love you too, darling.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, buddy, I want you to do me a favor. You see that lady? She's very important to me, okay?
Okay.
So I want you to take extra special care of her. You know what I'm talking about here?
I can't accept that. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can take extra special care of that young lady over there. For nothing.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Have a nice afternoon.
Well, sir, could I trouble you for a glass of warm milk? It helps put me to sleep.
You could trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up. Now you will go to sleep, or I will put you to sleep. Check out the name tag. You're in my world now, Grandma.
Oh, dear.
And he turns around and gives his line, where he's like, you could trouble me for a warm glass, so shut the hell up. And then It's like a sudden, like, oh, yeah, this is the bad guy.
He's great in this. Like, we'll see a lot more of him as it
goes
on.
He's very funny.
Like, I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, wow. Like, they brought Ben Stiller in here. There's got to be more of him than just this scene.
Yeah.
And I love when Ben Stiller plays guys like this. He's, you know, to me, I mean, even though he's had a great career, he's kind of I find him underrated in some ways. Like, you forget that, like, he can be so fucking funny when he wants to be.
Yeah, absolutely. He has a pretty small part in this movie. Like, he's only in it maybe, like, two or three more scenes after this initial one, but every time he's on the screen, he's really good.
And he's still, by this point in his career, like, he was doing well. Like, he'd already done, like, Reality Bites and, you know, he had a career going. This was more of a, like, this, hey, wouldn't it be fun if Ben Stiller was in this part? It's not like he was an unknown, you know.
Yeah, that's another part
of his career.
Another thing about, like, these Adam Sandler movies, like, they have a lot of these cameos where it's just like, yeah, it's probably just one of his comedian friends. And they're like, hey, we have this part for this asshole orderly. Like, wouldn't it be funny if you did it? And Ben Stiller's like, yeah, sure. And like, all, I feel like all of these movies have stuff like that.
Yeah, he definitely does that. You think of like John Lovitz's bit in The Wedding Singer, for example. Mm-hmm. He's in like one scene that could have been anybody, but like, no, we want to get another like SNL alum to, you know, just crush, you know, this 5 minute moment in the movie. All right, so he goes out in front of the house where a couple of these guys are playing with grandpa's golf clubs and just, you know, smacking a couple of balls here and there, and they kind of goad Adam Sandler into giving it a shot. And he reveals his hidden magic talent, which is he can slap shot this thing 400 yards.
Yeah, his talent for hitting like the world's hardest slap shot, like not accurately when he was a hockey player, but his talent for just hitting the puck really fucking hard translates over to golf. And he has this, he takes this running like run up to the tee, like he's not stationary in the tee box. He runs up and swings and just crushes it. And the way the camera films this really sells how hard and how far he's hitting it really well. But yeah, he hits it like 400 yards, which is unheard of for golfers. And since you didn't watch this back in the day, you only watched it recently for the first time. When I tell you like the amount of times me and my friends tried to hit golf balls like this, like throughout our lives, this was something everyone tried to do. The run up and the swing, just like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I haven't done a whole lot of golfing, even though I am a lawyer. In theory, I'm required to be good at golf or do it a lot. I'm not. I do own a set of clubs, but this was never something I focused time on. But I've spent enough time at a driving range to, you know, get a little in there.
Right.
And like, yeah, one, you definitely don't want to be moving while you try to run up to the ball on the tee. But also, like, yeah, even on my best day, like I could maybe hit it, you know, somewhere between 1 and 200 yards.
Yeah,
but that's just with the magic of like the weight of the club's head and gravity.
Yeah,
you know, professional golfers can hit it much farther than that. But even still, yeah, this like line drive he hits, plus the sound design on this is so good. Like there's like this whoosh.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever he hits the ball, that like sells it. Like this is a magic golf swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that he is like deadly accurate.
Yeah, he hits the same house at the end of the street 3 times in a row.
Well, he doesn't exactly hit the house. First he hits the house, then he hits one of its occupants, and then he hits the second one who falls off the roof.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, he's like, okay, we better get inside real quick.
Yep. So he decides to go off to the driving range to see if he can hustle people for money, you know, betting him how far he can hit this.
Because he has to make the money for the taxes. So his idea, like, for how to make money off of this skill is to go hustle people at the driving range, not to play real golf or something. His idea is much lower stakes than that.
Yeah, no, he can't even conceive of actually winning real money playing real golf.
Yeah.
But as he is doing this and hitting these insane line drives, Carl Weathers watches him do it, and he's like a disaffected golf coach. Like he's supposed to be, you know, teaching someone how to swing, and he could, you know, he's just totally checked out until Happy starts hitting these balls.
Yeah. He plays Chubbs is his name in the movie. He's a former pro, and he's the current club pro at the local course. So he's like the professional, and he just, I guess he does these lessons on the side, but you're right. Like he doesn't give a shit about like this lady who's really struggling to hit the ball off the tee. But he doesn't care. He goes over and he talks to Happy, and you're introduced to his origin story, which is that he was a pro, had a promising career. He never got he never got the win in the championship. So he never got the gold jacket. because he hit his ball in the water and an alligator bit his hand off. And so now he has this wooden hand that is one of like the recurring jokes for the rest of the movie. Is Chubbs' hand, and it's an absurd prosthetic. It is just a solid piece of wood carved to look like a hand. It's way longer than a regular hand is. It's really goofy.
It looks like the hand for a mannequin, but like a mannequin that is like maybe 15 to 20% larger than an actual human.
Yeah.
Like it's a little ridiculous. Too big.
And he uses it like whenever he wants to get Happy's attention, he hits him with the wooden hand to poke him and stuff. It's so goofy, but you know, this is a goofy ass movie, but you're right. Like Carl Weathers in this movie, very funny. Probably the only movie I've seen where he was like in a really comedic role. The other one is Arrested Development, and he's really funny in Arrested Development.
Very. Yeah. I was thinking of the same thing. But yeah, so he follows Happy to the batting cages where Happy is not batting. He has paid money so that the machine will fire balls that he can just take in the chest and face.
Oh, yeah. Bring that shit on, man. Oh, good. I love it.
Awesome.
Oh, God, that hurt a little, but I'm all right.
My God, son, what the hell are you doing?
364 more days till next year's hockey tryouts. I got to toughen up.
Yeah!
Oh, God. God, I felt good. Yeah.
Come on, boy. Cut that out. You're making me sick.
Hey.
So you're a hockey player, huh?
Yeah.
You're going to give that shit up? You're going to concentrate on golf?
Who the hell are you?
I'm the club pro here, Chubbs Peterson. And I'm offering to teach you how to play golf personally. For free.
No.
You have no idea who I am, do you?
No, I don't.
Back in 1965... Sports Illustrated said I was going to be the next Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, what happened?
They wouldn't let me play on the pro tour anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because you're black?
Hell no. Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, tournament down in Florida. I hooked my ball in the rough down by the lake. Damn alligator just popped up. Cut me down in my prime. He got me. But I tore one of that bastard's eyes out, though. Look at that.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
I have never seen anybody hit that ball half as far as you can. You got real talent, kid.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but I've been training to be a hockey player my whole life.
Golf's no different from hockey. Requires talent, self-discipline.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass. You should talk to my neighbor, the accountant, probably a great golfer, huge ass.
Hey, I bet your neighbor, the accountant, can't drive the ball 400 yards. Bet your neighbor, the accountant, doesn't have a shot to get on the pro tour.
Yeah,
to he like wants to toughen psych himself up.
Yeah. He wants to toughen up for hockey tryouts next year, like hockey tryouts in 364 days or whenever. So he goes to the batting cages. This is one of the like one of my low key favorite scenes in the movie because it just shows what a psycho he is. Like he goes, takes fastballs right in the sternum, sometimes off the forehead. And that's his way of like preparing for hockey tryouts. He's not like practicing skating or practicing shooting accurately at the goal. He just wants to be tougher. That's all.
Yeah, this would definitely put like serious welts on your skin. Like I don't think this would toughen you up at all. It'd be awful. So he decides to go to give a chance at golfing because Chubbs convinces him, look, you could actually win some real money.
Yeah,
doing this. I think this is where he talks about like the amount you could win is, you know, it's relatively small, but if you come in last, you still win something.
Yeah.
So he's willing to do it. Is this where his hand, Chubbs' hand gets crushed as well?
Yeah. About it. I forget what exactly it was, but like Chubbs had to like turn real fast and his hand flies off and it lands on the pavement. And he's like, oh, don't worry about that. It's made of wood, real sturdy. And then a truck runs it over and smashes it into pieces like right away.
Yeah, and it will remain in various stages of disrepair for the rest of the movie. You never get the second one.
Yeah, the next time you see it, it's missing like the middle and pinky finger on the hand, and he didn't like try to fix it or anything. So when he's jabbing at Happy with the wooden hand, it's only got three fingers now, and it's even funnier than it was before.
Right, and he's probably jabbing him with like the pointy, jagged parts.
Yeah, exactly. One other thing about that batting cage scene, just a real tiny little joke. When Happy's doing it, there's a little kid there who sees him doing it and thinks it's really cool. And so when Happy steps out of the batting cages, to talk to Chubbs, the kid goes in and he tries to take fastballs off the chest and just gets destroyed by them.
Yeah. I feel like if they gave the script one more draft, that kid would show up towards the end of the movie. Like,
yeah,
you know, with like the world's like strongest pectoral muscles that would come into play somehow.
One of Happy's fans. Yeah.
Right. So we go to the golf course and we meet Shooter McGavin.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. This guy is awesome. What a great villain this dude is. Like, this is the classic 80s rich douchebag villain, but filtered through like Tim Herlihy and Adam Sandler's like SNL lens. So he's even more goofy than, say, like the bad guy from like One Crazy Summer.
You know, yeah.
Better Off Dead, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Played by Christopher McDonald. And he is just like so intensely unlikable from the minute he's on screen, but he's funny at the same time. Like he's so corny. Like he's a golf pro and he's like spent his whole life playing golf. So he's like all about like the etiquette of playing golf, but he's also like really cocky and he has like these celebrations. Like when he sinks a putt, he does like finger pistols and like blows the smoke away from them and stuff. 'Cause his name is Shooter. And, He's just really good, like, as a villain. He's so, at the same time, unlikable. Like, you want him to eat shit the second you meet him. But he's also really funny throughout the movie and, like, a perfect kind of complement to Happy, who is, like, this, you know, working-class dude. And then whenever they, like, butt heads and, like, trade insults with each other, it's really good every time.
Yes, put a pin in that eating shit thing you said for later. Speaking of which. We also meet Virginia Bennett, who is played by Julie Bowen from Modern Family. You probably know her best from that.
I looked that up.
She's great.
Yeah, I looked that up. I don't know if you've seen enough of these movies to notice, but during this run of Adam Sandler movies in the mid-90s, all of his girlfriend characters have the initials VV, and it's Virginia Bennett with a V in this movie. Vicky Valancourt in The Waterboy, and Veronica Vaughn in Billy Madison. So weird little thing going on there with the writers in all of these movies.
I never would have noticed that in a million years.
This is what happens when we were talking in my Discord server today, like about these seminal comedies that I never watched, but I did watch all these Adam Sandler movies 100 times. So that's why I notice little things like that.
What were some of the ones you hadn't seen that came up? I'm curious.
Spaceballs was the one today.
Oh, well, we just recorded that episode earlier today. So
nice.
You're in for a treat if you watch it.
Maybe that was why that was on their mind in the Discord server today.
Where all of us podcast nerds hang out.
Yeah.
Definitely watch Spaceballs. You'll enjoy that. You can't go wrong with that movie. All right. So we find out that whoever wins this particular little tournament gets to join Shooter McGavin on the tour. Happy knocks down his poor caddy and says he'll carry the clubs himself. Watch me and make sure I don't do anything stupid, he says.
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. No, let me carry these, all right? They're my grandfather's. They're pretty old.
Well, what should I do then?
I don't know. Why don't you just watch me and make sure I don't do anything stupid, okay?
Mr. Gilmore, Mr. Lafferty will be teeing off now.
All right. Good luck, buddy.
Get out of the way.
Where were you on that one, dipshit?
Yeah, he tells his caddy, because his caddy grabs his clubs and Happy thinks he's stealing them. So he tackles him and then he says, all right, well, I don't need you to carry these. Just make sure I don't embarrass myself. And immediately, like, Happy just stands in front of the guy who's supposed to be teeing off. Like, he's never been on a golf course before, so he doesn't know how any of this works. The official or whatever is like, get off the green, sir. And he's like, all right, nice job, dipshit, talking to his caddy.
Yeah, I think, is this where he's golfing with Kevin Nealon?
I think that's the, it the might be one? This one. It might be the next one. I don't remember.
All right.
Kevin Nealon's really funny, though.
Very much so. And I love that this is where Chubbs is telling him it's all in the hips.
Yeah.
Just trying to it's ease the tension, the baby.
It's all in the hips. And he starts, like, he gets behind him and holds him from behind, is like rocking back and forth with him.
Yeah, it's great. And we watch him, he finally, you know, he hits one of these drives, you know, I think first it's a swing and a miss, but then he hits the drive onto the green in one shot, which shocks everybody. But the problem is his short game is no good. He can hit it to the green, but he can't putt it in.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So, yeah, he does, but he does hit an insane hole in one.
Yeah, he hits a hole in one on a par four. And I think this is the tournament where he beats the shit out of a fan for making fun of him not being able to putt.
Yes. Yeah, he definitely knocks out that guy. I can't remember if he knocks him out with a ball or like just punches him or what. But Virginia sees this and realizes, hey, this guy can draw a crowd. You know, he's not the best golfer, but you know, people will line up to watch this guy hit crazy drives and act weird.
Yeah,
and we get this montage to House of Pain's Jump Around as he's hitting, you know, the clouds of sand from sand traps. He's, you know, swimming into a water trap to get his ball.
Yeah.
But he eventually, like, he managed to tap in a few balls. He tackles his caddy at one point. But, yeah, he managed, at least he gets to the end of the tournament, and he gets, you know, whatever the minimum amount is. No, he wins, right?
This is the tournament.
He does, this one he wins.
Yeah, this is the one that if you win, then you get onto the pro tour. So he wins this tournament because this is, like, against the other amateurs.
That's right. It's later when he starts having the small wins. So yeah, he somehow manages to eke out a win here. You know, McGavin thinks it's just hilarious that he tackled his caddy and stuff. But Virginia introduces herself to Adam Sandler, and they have kind of their first, like, actual scene together. He finds out that in Portland, the winner gets $216,000.
Yeah.
So he's willing to, he doesn't want to be a golfer, but he'll go along with it because he needs the money.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's each tournament. So, like, and then he, you know, keeps going, like, through the tour. So all these different events, and he starts out, he gets last place, but he gets like $2,000 or something. And then he starts to climb higher and higher and higher and higher. Like, he never, like, wins any of them. Like, they show the montage of him doing these tournaments. He's, like, he's creating highlights and all of that, and he's winning some money. But, like, Shooter's winning all of these events. So, like, they show that, too. And he's just, like, cool, calm, collected, you know, professional golfer, as opposed to Adam Sandler causing a scene everywhere.
Yeah. And before we get to that part of the montage, we go back to the nursing home where it's a sweatshop.
Marty, if you'd stop yapping your trap for a second, I could tell you. The price is $200 per quilt. Yeah, well, this is handmade quality shit we're talking here.
Yes, well, when do you need them by?
All right. Good do business with you. Okay, listen up, everybody. Turn up your volumes. Announcement. I got good news. We're extending arts and crafts time by 4 hours today.
My fingers hurt.
What's that?
My fingers hurt.
Oh, well, now your back's gonna hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty. Anybody else's fingers hurt? I didn't think so. Why do you do that to me, huh? Why do you make me act like that in front of everybody, huh?
Mr. Gilmore! Hey, toity straight down to the right, dear.
How's my grandma?
Oh, she's super. We're just enjoying some arts and crafts time right now. Grandma's quite a quilter.
And he tells him, oh, good news, we're extending, quote unquote, arts and crafts by 4 hours.
Yeah. And this, another one of those quotes from the nursing home, and one of Ben Stiller's, like, enduring quotes from this movie, where the old lady says, my fingers hurt. And he says, well, your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty, and leads her out.
Yeah. Happy comes in, and Ben Stiller tells him, oh, grandma's quite a quilter.
Yeah.
And he gives her another, like, you know, signal, like, you know, you don't say anything to your grandson.
Yeah.
He tells her that he made the tour, and if you can win some money, then maybe they can get the house back. And she says, oh, good. I can't stand to live here another minute. The AC is broken.
Yeah.
And so he kind of bangs on the air conditioning a little bit and it falls onto a lady.
Yeah, it's the same lady downstairs. That jumped on the car earlier.
Right. So I think there might be one more instance where she endures some serious indignities, but
yeah.
So we go to a golf party, big golf party that Happy kind of invades, and he finds out about, you get a gold jacket for winning the big tournament, and you've got Shooter and all the other like gold jacket wearing pros kind of giving him shit. But also we know that like Shooter is also a little insecure because he doesn't have his gold jacket yet.
Right.
What'd you expect? Norman spends more time in the sand than David Hasselhoff. Come on, that's funny.
Yeah, it was funny the first time I heard it.
Oh, my God. Drink up.
Hey, anybody tapped the keg yet? I'll pump. All right? I'm Happy Gilmore. What's up?
Yeah, Happy Mark Lye. Welcome to the tour.
Thanks.
Yeah, I heard about that ace you had on that par 4. Man, that's impressive.
You heard about that?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a nice jacket.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? They give you one if you win the tour championship.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
It's sort of the biggest tournament of the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And where's yours?
That's good. It is a good one. He's a funny guy. I'll have mine, 3 months, guys?
Yeah, not if I have anything to do with it, you won't.
Whoa, look out.
You better look out, boys. Hey, if you're not doing anything later, why don't you join us at 9:00 on the 9th green?
What happens there?
That's a secret of the pros.
All right, cool. Thanks, man. All right, I'm out of here. I hear that asteroids machine calling my name from the game room, so peace.
Oh, and Happy. Dress nice, huh?
Oh, all right. Almost 9:00.
He hasn't won the championship yet, and he feels like this is his year, basically.
He's very, you can tell, he's just, I'm entitled to this. Like, I am, the universe owes me this win.
Yeah. I mean, also that like he's the best on the tour, like he's the favorite to win. So he does like have that entitlement, but it's kind of justified because he's also the best golfer of anyone that we actually like get any real screen time of. There's the other people that have won in the past at that party and they kind of chop it up with Happy. But yeah, Shooter definitely feels like this is his year for various reasons.
Oh, yeah. So they invite him to meet them on the golf course at the 9th hole at 9 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
Which.
And he says to dress nice. He tells Happy to dress nice.
Right. Which, of course, is an invitation for him to stand out there with no one and get hit by the sprinklers when they come on.
Yeah, exactly. Happy goes out and he sees Virginia again. And he's like, have you seen Shooter McGavin? I need to go beat the shit out of him right now. And she kind of talks him down from that and kind of, I think this is one of the times when she tells him about like how excited everybody is for him, but he needs to kind of chill a little bit. He can't just go, fight Shooter McGavin right now. Otherwise he'll lose his chance.
Yeah. That's a kind of common refrain of like, if you can just kind of hold it together a little more, like people like all of your crazy antics, but there's a line you can't cross.
Hey, public relations lady, you see Shooter McGavin around?
No, why?
I just need to beat the living piss out of him.
Wait, let me guess, the old 9th green at 9 trick, huh?
It would appear so now, wouldn't it?
You're right, he does deserve a beating. But if you beat him up tonight, I've got to get up in the morning and explain to the papers why the new guy on the tour beat up Shooter McGavin, so you see you'd really be making more work for me.
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to do that.
Listen, don't worry about Shooter. He's just threatened by you. He's worried you're going to steal some of his thunder.
That's nice of you to say. So, all right. I'm going to go change now.
Okay.
Hey, my girlfriend's dead, you know. She fell off a cliff and died on impact.
Really? I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, you should get some sleep, Gilmore. Tomorrow's a big day.
You're right, it is.
But I love this, that in the middle of this, he often will mention this. He'll say something like, my girlfriend's dead. She died.
Yeah, she fell off a cliff and died. Yeah.
Yeah. She's
the most unsubtle way of letting her know that he's single.
Yeah, and I love that she understands that he's like a jokey man-child enough to not to be like, I'm sorry, what, your girlfriend fell off?
Yeah, she laughs at
it. She doesn't take it seriously. Yeah. all right, so now we get, it's golf time again. It's, you know, there's an invitational, and this homeless guy tries to wipe Happy Gilmore's windshield, and like security kind of drags this guy away, and Happy feels bad for him, so he hires him as his caddy.
Yeah.
And I love this because like this is a little more of like you need a bit of a save the cat moment here and there. So like he is a man child with like a very short fuse who like beats people up. So we have to like, but he's got a heart of gold in there somewhere.
Yeah, and they do some jokes with the homeless caddy, like how there's one scene where someone puts a quarter down to mark where their ball landed, and he just walks up and takes it immediately. There's another one where he's using a cracker as like the ball marker for him. So when Happy puts his ball down, he picks up the cracker and eats it. It's just like a little like 2-second joke, but it's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So we tee off, and this is, you're right. This is where we get SNL's Kevin Nealon.
Gary Potter, great to have you on the tour, Happy. I feel a lot of solid energy coming out of you. Good, positive aura. Great, great. It's all great.
Yeah, man. Nice to meet you, man. Is it always like this with the TV cameras and the people and stuff?
Oh, yeah. A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Mm-hmm. Feel the flow, Happy. Feel it. It's circular. It's like a carousel. You pay the quarter, you get on the horse. It goes up and down. And around, circular, circle, with the music, the flow, all good things.
Yeah, all right. Well, great. Thanks a lot. Nice to meet you, man. Cycle.
Fucking shit! Fuck me in a fucking ass! Fuck you, you fucking stupid cunt! Fuck monkey fucking fucker!
Cycle.
Yeah.
Another like... You know, I mean, yes, he's had a good career, but like this guy is capable of so much funny, weird stuff.
Yeah.
He's always good in everything he's in. He's so nice to Happy. But then eventually he picks up on like, oh, no, Happy's a psychopath.
Yeah. He's giving him this psychedelic, like meditative, like spiritual advice about golfing and about the nature of the ball and why the ball has this energy and it wants to be in its home, which is in the hole and stuff like it persists through this tournament that like, I think they're paired together. So they're playing together. So he's just constantly giving him this like hippy dippy advice about like the spiritual approach to golf, but it is all of this like off the wall shit. It's real good.
Feel the flow.
Yeah.
And so we get into the actual tournament, and we watch like Gavin, Shooter McGavin, like just berate his caddy for like no good reason.
Yeah.
Just letting us know like, oh, right. He is an asshole. In case you forgot. But meanwhile, like Happy is just like, you know, he's excited. He hits a ball. Like he's all the positive energy mostly. Yeah. Until he's on the 17th green and he can't get the ball into the, you know, his short game betrays him again. And we get this classic scene of him just screaming at the ball that it needs to go to its home.
I think most people have found their way over to Happy Gilmore. He's been the talk of the course today with his huge drives and his amazingly bizarre behavior. He's on the 17th green right now, having a little trouble closing out his day.
Happy, the ball itself has its own energy, or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the hole. So why don't you send him home? His bags are packed. He's got his airplane tickets. Bring him to the airport. Send him home.
Send him home. I just send him home. Time to go home there, ball.
Son of a bitch, ball. Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Suck my white ass, ball.
Yeah, you too good for your home? Why don't you go home? Yeah.
Yep. And so he nearly impales somebody. At which point the suits want to kick Happy off the tour.
Yeah.
And Virginia convinces them not to because ratings have never been higher. So they basically say, like, all right, we'll keep him around, but he's got to clean up his act.
Yeah, he's on a short leash. So I think there's like some more montage after this of like Happy about to like throw his club or about to beat the shit out of somebody, but like he sees Virginia out of the corner of his eye and he's like, all right, I'm cool, I'm calm, moving on, like that, until Shooter gets the best of him.
Right. So Shooter wins this tournament, and I love this bit that like Happy, he finished dead last, but he still is entitled to, you know, whatever, $2,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we don't have any, when do you get the money? And like, it's like, no, I want it now. I want a check now. And he's, we don't have any checks.
He wants one of the big checks that the winner gets.
The novelty size checks. Yeah. And where I love eventually, like he's got like, you know, 10 or 12 of them in his car eventually, these gigantic checks. Which is great. I don't know if they're actual legal tender. I don't know if you can really take one of those to the bank, but it's very funny.
Yeah, the idea that they are legal tender and he has like $100,000 worth of them in the backseat of his car is a good bit.
Yeah. So we get another scene in like in a bar where Shooter is basically giving Adam Sandler some shit for, you know, being a buffoon on the tour, and you know, Happy basically, you know, this is a, you know, classic bait for him. You know, you think you're better than me, because he said, well, I was going to just try and win some money, but now I also need to win this tournament to, you know, kick your ass.
Yeah. Shooter kind of goads him into like trying to fight to try and get him kicked off the tour. And so he breaks a bottle on the bar. He's like holding it up like, I think Shooter says something like, bring it on. And Happy's like, okay. And he breaks a bottle and Shooter's like, dude, on the golf course. And then Veronica walks in, she sees him holding a broken bottle. And he's like, oh, I found this half a bottle. I was looking for the other half of it. Oh, there it is. There.
Yeah. It's really good. And then there's this weird bit of like Shooter leaves and he says something that sort of rhymes. And we go into this, almost, I have this in my notes as Beastie Boys rap.
That was quite a show you put on today, Gilmore. You were the talk of the tournament.
Wow, thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, you really crushed that ball off the tee, I'll tell you what. You know, you'd be something in one of those long drive contests. Yeah, you could probably make a very good living, traveling around, hustling at driving ranges. Thanks, Phil.
That's, you know, I know what you're doing right now, and I don't like it. So why don't you just shut your trap before I put my foot in it?
Don't turn your back on me. Let's get one thing straight. This is Shooter's tour. I've worked hard my whole life, paid my dues, and now it's Shooter's turn. And Shooter's not about to let his reign at the top be spoiled by some freak sideshow clown.
Did you just call me a freak? I was on this tour for one reason, money. But now I got a new reason, kicking your ass.
Well, I'd like to see you try. Let's do it. I'm in on a golf course.
Hey, what is going on here, huh?
Oh, I was just looking for the other half of this bottle, and there's some of it right there. There's some right there too.
Why don't you just put it down?
Yeah, I know.
Just stay out of my way, or you'll pay. Listen to what I say.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may. What do you say?
But like it's every word ends the same rhyme.
Yeah, I'm gonna go lay by the bay. Maybe eat some hay.
Yeah, you could literally hear like the other two Beastie Boys just jump in on that last word. he leaves, and you know, Virginia once again, you know, warns him, you know, about keeping his nose clean, and he says he'll work on behaving, but he won't act like a stiff. And she says, he tries to ask her out, and she says, I don't date golfers. He says, well, that's okay, I'm a hockey player.
Yeah, good. Recurring. Yeah. He's like. Now, at this point, he's won like tens of thousands of dollars playing golf, but he's still like, no, I'm not a golfer. I'm a hockey player.
Yeah. He still doesn't view himself as a golfer. He's just, you know, this is still a larger version of his hustle, basically. Yeah. So we're on the next tour. We meet Mr. Larson again, who's his boss with the nail in his head. And he just congratulates. Like, he's so joyful about seeing Happy. Like, despite the nail in his head, like, he's like nothing but encouraging.
That was one of the parts from the opening montage that we didn't expand on. But so Happy's, they're having like a competition at the construction yard. He's shooting stuff with a nail gun and he accidentally shoots his boss in the head with the nail gun. And then Mr. Larson, Richard Kiel, during that like opening thing, beats the shit out of Happy, and it's like he's in the hospital and he's like very badly injured from this fight, but he's like, yeah, he got a few punches in, but I still feel like I won the fight, even though he's like laid out in the hospital. But then back here in this like present tournament, the guy still has the nail in his head, and so like Happy sees him and he's like, oh shit, like everything good? And he's like, oh, I'm a big fan, the nail comes out next week, feeling good.
Yeah, and he's like nothing but like Happy's biggest ally through the rest of the movie. Like, there's no reason for that other than just it's really fun to have this like giant guy in his corner.
Yeah,
because like, you know, Happy whips up the crowd, he hits a huge drive, he almost takes a like a beer bong rip and chooses not to.
Yeah,
and then it's Shooter McGavin's turn, and he like and the guy and Mr. Larson tells him, hey, Happy Gilmore made that shot, and like just to make him angry. And then Jaws, like Jaws, I have in my notes as Jaws. Mr. Larson takes like a nine iron and just like bends it or snaps it in half. Like
Shooter turns around because he hasn't seen him at this point. So he turns around and he's planning to be like, hey, shut the fuck up. But he sees that it's this giant of a man and he's like, oh my God. And so he like hurries, takes his shot, and then like scoots away real fast.
Trying to reach the green from here, Shooter?
That's not possible, sir.
I beg to differ. Happy Gilmore accomplished that feat no more than an hour ago.
Well, moron, good for Happy Gilmore. Oh, my God! Oh, my God.
Hey, Shooter, haven't you forgotten your nine iron?
After he bends the nine iron in half.
Yeah. And so now we go into a little more of a montage, but yeah, we see like there's like more weirdos coming to watch him play live, like not very golf course appropriate attire.
They said on the telecast, they got Vern Lundquist, which is another thing about these Adam Sandler sports movies. They always get real sportscasters to come play the sportscasters in the movies. Same in The Waterboy. And so Vern Lundquist is one of the sportscasters, and he says, very economically diverse crowd here at the Open today. And it just shows people like tailgating out in the parking lot, like people not dressed for the occasion of a golf tournament and stuff. It's a good, good writing.
Yeah. And I love that we're getting a little more of this stuff like we talked about before. Like he's winning slightly larger increments each time. We get Happy autographing some Tatas, young and old.
Yep.
But we get some moments of him like, you know, he has some setbacks, like he'll miss a putt here and there. And he, like you said, he's going to go nuts, but then he kind of like restrains himself to control his behavior.
Yeah. But then things are still looking good for Happy. He's on the upswing here.
Yeah, yeah. This is our act two. Like things are starting to move in his favor. he hits a drive that goes into an alligator, and he gets in this fight with the alligator. He realizes it is the same one-eyed gator that took Chubbs' hand. So he wrestles the gator. He gets the ball back, and continues to win more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then we get to this scene with Shooter McGavin, talking to Doug, who is like one of the like suits, for the tournament. Yeah. He's pissed off that, you know, Happy is, you know, he's bringing these people. He says he got mooned while he was on the course, and Doug tells him like, hey, he's not technically breaking any rules and he's good for ratings and sponsors. So what are we going to do?
Yeah. So Shooter kind of, he's got like that twinkle in his eye, like, okay, well, I got to take this into my own hands now.
Right. I got to do something more extreme to get rid of this guy. Yeah. We get a quick thing of Happy telling his grandma that he's been doing well enough and these smaller wins are adding up to the point where all he has to do is avoid last place in the next two tournaments and he'll have enough money to save the house, which is it's all he needs to do. And at this point, because I guess he's been behaving himself and doing well, Virginia agrees to go on a date with him.
Oh, yeah. So
we have our date at the skating rink.
This song reminds me of seventh grade.
This song reminds me of my grandma.
That's kind of weird.
She took me to see this movie. I like have the biggest crush on Brooke Shields.
Really?
Yeah. My grandmother told me I should write her a letter, you know? So I did. And I got a letter back from Brooke like 2 weeks later. But it was in my grandmother's handwriting.
Grandma sounds sweet.
She is sweet. That's why I feel so terrible.
Why?
Nah, forget it.
No, it's okay, you can tell me.
It's just she's stuck in a damn nursing home. The IRS repossessed her house.
That's awful.
That's why I joined the tour. And I'm pretty close to getting her house back. But look, don't tell anybody about this. I'm kind of embarrassed.
Don't worry, I won't tell anybody.
Hey, I'll make you a bet.
Do you always carry a puck around?
Yeah. All right, now, if you get that puck in that net over there, I'll never bother you again. But if you miss, you gotta give me a big fat kiss. And you gotta pretend that you like it too.
Really?
Good luck. Shit. Talk about your all-time backfires.
Happy. I didn't see it go in.
Oh, the date's so funny. It's they're skating and then like Happy knows the Zamboni driver, so he's got this all set up with the Zamboni driver. So they're out there skating. Happy's a terrible skater, and she makes fun of him. She's like, aren't you a hockey player? Like, why can't you ice skate? Yeah, but he's struggling. And the lights turn off, and the song Endless Love starts playing. And she, this is one of my favorite lines, like just low-key, quick little joke lines. She's like, hey, I thought we were supposed to just be friends. And he's like, what? Friends listen to Endless Love in the dark?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not subtle.
Yeah,
but this is also where he also says something else, which is funny. He says he saw the movie Endless Love, so he wrote to Brooke Shields, and then his grandma
got a letter back from Brooke. Yeah,
yeah, which is very cute.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if you noticed at the end of the date here, like after they do the bet, you know, he's like, if you can make a shot into the goal at the end of the ice, then I'll never talk to you again. You forget about me. But if you miss, then you have to kiss me. And she makes it. And she's like, well, I didn't see it go in. And they kiss. But after that, it kind of pans out like they're kissing and kind of dancing a little bit. And the Zamboni driver is singing along with the song. And it's just, I don't know what it is about that, but that made me laugh out loud when I watched it.
This feels Sandler-y to me. I was trying to think of like an example of something like this from some of the other Sandler movies, but like they will do stuff like this, and because they let it linger on this guy like lip syncing the song tenderly for a while, and then it just fades to black. Like they don't do it. That's it. That's the joke of like this guy's just Zamboni driver just having a nice moment to himself.
Yep.
All right, so we go to the San Francisco tournament, and you know he's playing with Bob Barker,
yeah,
because it's a celebrity tournament, and this guy is heckling him, and you know calling him a jackass. So Happy biffs it, and we see throughout this tournament that he's got the yips, right? You can't make it happen. And at first, I thought they were going to go for this thing of like, oh, well, see, now he's got a girlfriend, so it's classic like sports.
Lost his edge. Yeah.
Lost his edge. That's not what they're doing. It's just
it's just
the heckling.
It's just the heckler. And the heckler is really funny, too. Like, he when Happy takes his, like, backswing, he just goes, jackass, and as he's swinging. So he fucks up his drive. But then they start to get more creative with it. So then he's like, you will not make this putt, you jackass. And then later, Happy's missed so badly that his ball is like down on like this beach or something. And he's like, you better bring some suntan lotion because you're never going to get off that beach, you jackass. and it keeps escalating and escalating. And Happy can't play, and Bob Barker is pissed because he won the Pro-Am tournament with another pro last year. And this, like, I love it when you see, like, you see somebody so often on TV or something like that. Like, they're either playing one character all the time, or they're just, you know, like Bob Barker, hosting a game show with the same personality every single episode for like 40 years or however long he was on that show. And then you get to see them do something else and be funny and be like a parody version of themselves. And Bob Barker absolutely kills it in this.
I can't believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob.
There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go. Oh!
You like that, old man? You want a piece of me? I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing. Oh!
The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough. No? Now you've had enough. Bitch.
Yeah, this is probably the most famous scene of the movie.
I would say so, yeah.
It's just a, you know, a knockdown, drag-out fight between Adam Sandler and Bob Barker, who's easily three times his age.
Yeah.
You know, so he's already old, but like he's wiry and squirrely and just, you know, he's insulting him the whole time. It's, you know, this whole, like, the price is wrong, bitch stuff.
Yeah.
Is really funny. And like you said, like the joy of watching him play against type, you know, do something so outside of, the one that comes to, I mean, this happens in movies from time to time. The one I thought of is, what is it? Is it This Is the End, the movie about the apocalypse, where you have like Michael Cera playing,
yeah,
like
he's like a real giant asshole, like creep right. character in that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Same deal. Like, let's have this character, this person we know for being nice and genteel, just be awful.
Yeah.
But it works every time. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. And the, like, the lead up to that fight is funny too, because Bob Barker, he starts out like, I thought you were a pro. Like, come on, man. Like, get it together. And then he just starts talking shit for like a couple of holes. Like, Bob Barker's just making fun of him for being bad. And then eventually Happy snaps and they have the fight. And yeah, but there's a point where like Happy like headbutts him and you think like, oh, did he kill Bob Barker? And then Bob, like the hand like shoots up like a zombie movie or something like that and grabs him by the collar and he wakes back up and knocks him out. And then, yeah, the comedic timing on the price is wrong, bitch. And then Bob Barker's like retort where he's like, looks like you've had enough. And then he starts walking away and he turns around and just goes, bitch, and keeps walking, which you don't expect from Bob Barker, because he's the Price is Right guy.
We should mention Bob Barker wins this fight.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He destroys him. Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny. The other thing is, so you mentioned like kind of the funny escalating stuff they do with the heckler, but they have this like secondary comedic game with the heckler. Cause we find out that, Shooter McGavin is paying this guy to heckle Adam Sandler and, you know, throw him off his game.
Yeah.
And he has this thing where he's like, he really wants to go have dinner with Shooter at the Red Lobster.
Yeah. He wants to be friends with Shooter, and he keeps inviting him to all of these, like, you know, basic, you know, chains, like the,
it's like Sizzler the next time.
He invites him. Yeah. He invites him to Red Lobster and then to Sizzler. And then like, if it would have kept going, like, oh, I'm over at Applebee's. You want to come get some dinner or something?
Right. But the way he talks about these restaurants, it's as if they were fine eateries and not, you know, Applebee's. Like, it's,
for sure.
The way he talks about them is very funny. You know, this is a big deal. We're going to Olive Garden. You know?
Yeah.
So Doug dresses Happy down. The board fines him $25,000 and they suspend him for a month. They don't want to kick him off entirely because of the ratings, but Happy tries to appeal to his grandmother. But Doug doesn't care. Fortunately, the next scene where he has Subway with Virginia, they've been like, Subway has been kind of in the background of this movie the whole time. And he's like, he talks about like, oh, I just love this juicy, delicious, whatever it is, the sandwich. And so Virginia says, oh shit, let's just have him do a commercial.
I don't want to hear it. It's over. My grandmother's never going to see her house again.
Yeah, but you've made a lot of money. You could get her a really nice condo.
My grandfather didn't build any condos with his bare hands.
Damn it, I hate that Bob Barker.
Okay, there has got to be another way to get the $50,000.
I don't even want to talk about it anymore, all right? I failed, okay? Let me just sit here and enjoy the one thing that makes me a little bit happy. This fresh, delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled,
cold-cut combo. I eat three every day to help keep me strong.
Hey, Happy! Can I have one of those?
Coming right up!
Talk about a hole in one.
Subway sandwiches will drive away your hunger.
And that makes him enough money making this Subway commercial to get to potentially get the house back.
Yeah, and this worked on me. Back in the day, like, this made me want to go to Subway because I used to really like Subway. So this was like, oh, Subway for dinner tonight. Yes, let's do it.
It made me want Subway watching it now. I was like, oh, there's better sandwiches, but it looks good right now. Mm-hmm. So they go back to the house to buy it back, but there's a crowd. They're going to auction it, and it quickly shoots past the $275,000 they've got up to $350,000, and it is Shooter McGavin, who is buying the house to be a dick, and basically says, hey, if you quit the tournament, you can have the house. And if you win, you win the and he says, if I win the tournament, I get the house. And this is where we get like one of the most quotable lines in the movie.
Hey, what the hell is the matter with you?
Well, real estate speculation is a hobby of mine. Now, you lay another finger on me, I burn the house down and piss on the ashes.
What do you want for it, Shooter?
You know what I want. You off the tour. Quit. And the house is yours.
Fine, I quit.
Oh, no, he doesn't. Happy, I need to talk to you.
What? He's a jerk, but he's right. I don't belong in this sport. I'm a hockey player.
Oh, really? What team do you play for?
Easy.
Face it, Happy. You are a golfer.
Look, I did this so I could get Grandma's house back. Now I can. No regrets.
What do you think Grandma wants more? To get her house back or to see her grandson succeed?
Maybe there's a way she can have both. Hey, Shooter.
No.
Tour championships next week, right?
That's right.
If I beat you, I get the house back. You beat me, I'll quit.
You're gonna beat me? At golf? Oh, you're on. You're in big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? And he's... Shooter is so caught off guard by the reply. Like, he tries. It's a good little acting job by Christopher McDonald where he's like, no. Like, and then he briefly has the idea to say something, but then he just gives up and walks away. It's really good.
Yeah, he realizes that he set himself up for this really well, and there is no way around it. It's very good.
Let me ask you real quick. So, like, that line is really famous. I don't know if Happy Gilmore, like, invented that line or that retort. That's really famous. The Bob Barker fight's really famous. Like, how aware of, like, the famous parts from this movie were you before you watched it?
I definitely knew the Bob Barker thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I must have seen the pieces of shit thing at some point, a clip of it somewhere, because when it happened, I wasn't like, oh shit, that's really funny. It was more like, oh yeah, I've seen this somehow. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't totally unfamiliar. So it's one of those things when something is as popular as this, bits of it will filter through even if you've never seen it all the way through. But those are the two things I really knew about it was the Bob Barker scene. And I feel like that I had seen before. The rest of it was all just new.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So great moment. So he goes back to Chubbs. He says, I got to go back to Chubbs because I got to just get to work and beat this guy.
He says, I have to learn how to golf. So, you got to go find Chubbs.
Right. And he's going to really take it seriously this time. I love that he breaks more fingers off the hand.
Yeah. When he's shaking it. Yeah. Yep. When he's like sucking up to Chubbs to get Chubbs to agree to do it. And he's like, I'm sorry, you were right. I'm terrible. You're the best. And he keeps going with more of these like compliments for Chubbs and like self-deprecation. But the one that gets Chubbs to agree to it, the last one he says is, you're handsome, I'm ugly. And Chubbs is like, all right, well, at least you can admit it. And then they move on. It's nice little.
No, he's great in this. And we get to them going to miniature golf to work on his short game, which is a great idea. This looks like the best miniature golf course in the world, by the way. Yeah, like I want to play on this course.
Yeah.
there's a few holes as we'll see that appear impossible, but, it still looks like a lot of fun. But like, we can see that like, he definitely has like a screw loose. Cause like the clown, he's trying to like putt into this clown's mouth and it's on a timer. So it closes every time the ball gets close and he like attacks the clown.
He does that to several holes on the mini golf course. Like he gets frustrated, he destroys the hole, then they move on to the next one. And it's only when Chubbs teaches him about the happy place that he's actually able to like make a shot at the mini golf course.
Yeah, he tells him to go to his happy place, and which is, you know, he stops for a moment and goes into his imagination. And it's like, first it's like the obvious stuff. It's like, okay, it's, you know, it's Julie Bowen in sexy underwear with a bunch of beers. And then it's grandma winning the money that she needs, right? Things that would obviously make him happy. But then there's like a little person on a bicycle.
Yeah. You know, very, like, very 90s. Getting weirder. Humor. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, but also like in what we would call like lol random, right? It's just like, I don't know. That's in his happy place for some reason.
Yeah.
But then he makes this impossible putt where he has to like bank, like, it's not really a putt. He like chips the ball up onto like a hillside that like banks off of several things.
And yeah, it's like
rolls into the hole.
It's like a Rube Goldberg machine almost.
Yeah, clearly impossible golf putt. So we go back to the apartment and Chubbs gives him a putter shaped like a gold hockey stick, sort of, which is really cool. And this is great. Like Happy gives him a present, which is the head from the gator that he killed.
Yeah.
And Chubbs is so shocked that he just falls backwards out the window and dies.
You really took some giant steps out there tonight. I'm really proud of you.
Thanks.
So here, I got something really special for you here.
Oh, wow, thanks, Chubbs.
See that? That is the same putter I used when I played. Slightly modified, of course.
Man, this is excellent.
You got the spirit of a hockey player in you, Happy. So I figured, why fight it, eh?
Oh, I got something for you too, pal.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I figured if it wasn't for you, none of this would have happened, right? So I wanted to show my appreciation.
Oh, this looks nice. What is it, eh?
Open it up.
Oh, man.
Remember the gator that got your hand? I got his head.
Yep. And if you remember, when he falls out the window, there's a guy down on the street. This guy's been around the whole movie. He's part of the golf tournaments, but he's down on the street and he looks up at Happy and just like shakes his head like, what was that? And that guy is a former professional golfer, Lee Trevino. And he's just got a part in the movie, just in the background. Like he rarely talks for the whole movie, but the look he gives Adam Sandler is another one of those, like, someone just died, but there's an immediate joke right after he falls out the window of this guy's face. Like, what was that, Happy?
Yeah. And that makes this the second podcast we've done about a movie where Carl Weathers dies.
Oh, yeah.
Because we covered Rocky IV while back. So, now we just got to do Predator and then we're all set. We go to Chubbs' funeral. He gives the hand, which is sitting out like on a little podium or whatever. He gives it a final handshake. I think someone just comes up to him and says, "Congratulations, murderer."
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So now it's time for the big matchup. And he and Shooter are paired together. And Shooter tells him, "Oh, I'm going to turn Happy's room into a trophy room. I hope it's big enough." And he hits, McGavin hits this like pretty good drive. And Happy drives his ball all the way to the green. He's got the yips are gone.
Yeah.
And I love that this retort where he says, like, "Well, the pathetic thing is you've been playing your golf your whole life."
Yeah. So, yeah. Their banter back and forth is great through this tournament.
Yeah. And McGavin is holding on to his lead, but Happy's only one stroke behind. We get this like montage to Rock and Roll Part Two because it is a sports movie.
Yes.
You have to hear Rock and Roll Part Two. It's the law. And so Happy's nipping at his heels the whole time. And this is obviously not going to be okay with Shooter McGavin. So he calls his buddy Donald, who, you know, he talks about, "Let's go to the Sizzler. Can we go to the Sizzler?"
Yeah, he's like, I think he says he's at the Sizzler right now. And he's like, "I'm at the Sizzler. You want to come get something to eat?" And now Shooter's like, "No, this is about business. I need your help again."
Right. So we're at day, this is a 2-day tournament. So we're on day two and Happy is in the lead. But then this guy, Donald, like just comes and runs Happy over in a VW Bug on the course.
Yeah, on the course. And then crashes. Anyway. Yeah, it crashes into the TV tower.
Which bursts into flame or something. Or the car bursts into flame. And Donald gets out on fire.
There he is. Worm.
Happy, look out! Are you okay?
Volkswagen!
Jackass!
Jackass!
Well, you're a little banged up, but no serious injuries. Just keep off your feet for a few days.
To hell with that, I gotta finish up.
Fine. Do whatever you like. What would I know? I'm just a doctor.
Hey, are you gonna be all right?
I'm fine.
Happy. There is no shame in throwing in the towel. When it comes to your health, you can't be too cautious.
Let's just play some golf.
Doctor comes over, tells Happy to keep off his feet for a few days. but no, he's gonna keep going and golfing because he needs the house for his grandma. But his shoulder is now dinged up and he can't do his super move anymore.
Yeah, and he fucks up a bunch of holes in a row. Like he falls not only out of the lead, but he falls like almost out of contention entirely. And he has another time when he tries to go into his happy place, but it's been corrupted by Shooter. So
yes.
it basically shows the same thing that it was before. It's what's her name? Virginia on the bed in lingerie with a bunch of beer, but then Shooter comes up and like makes out with her instead. And then he goes over to grandma and he kisses grandma. And then like the camera like cuts away and then it cuts back. And like grandma's got a Gene Simmons mask on and they're like, and they kiss like Shooter and Gene Simmons or grandma and Gene Simmons. I don't remember which one, but it's like, very messed up in the happy place, and he continues to fall down the leaderboard.
Right, right. His physical game is gone. His mental game is messed up. And so Shooter now he's got a 4-stroke lead. And he talks to his grandma, and she tries to comfort him and says, "Hey, I just want you to be happy." And so he goes into the woods and decides, "I'm going to just try and be happy." And we go back to the happy place one more time, and now Chubbs is playing piano.
Yeah.
He's playing The Carpenters, We've Only Just Begun.
And he's singing too.
Grandma wants me to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Chin up, Happy. Don't feel bad about me. I got my hand back, see? We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises. A kiss for luck and we're on our way.
He's singing.
Carl Weathers.
He's got a good
singing
voice.
Yeah, he can sing. He's got like this brilliant, like pure white suit on. It's great. And he's playing the piano. And remember, like Chubbs only had one hand. He's like, oh, don't be sad, Happy. Got my hand back. And he starts playing and singing, and it's nice.
So now that's enough for Happy to get his mojo back. He's starting to sing putts, and now he's moving back up the leaderboard. And like McGavin's not happy. He wrecks a beach ball. And I have in my notes that Happy kind of Aragorns the crowd. He does the bit where he comes and like taps his golf club. Mm-hmm. Over. I guess that's not Aragorn. I guess that's Theoden.
Braveheart?
Does that. It's Theoden in Return of the King.
Oh, Theoden. Okay.
Yeah, he comes like, arise, and he like taps all the swords as he rides back and forth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He does that. So now they're tied at the 18th hole. It's a par 3, 160 yards. If there's a tie, they go to sudden death. And Happy shoots a perfect drive right onto the green. McGavin's goes into the woods. The ball is on Mr. Larson's foot.
Is this your ball?
Yes, it is.
It struck my foot.
Doug! Can I get a drop?
The rule says play it as it lies.
That's two, that's far shooter.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
And the ruling is he has to play it as it lies.
Yeah, and crucially, he has a shirt that says, guns don't kill people, I kill people. In that scene. And so, like, he has to hit the ball off of his shoe, which he does. He hits like a great shot off of his shoe, but it's his second shot. And it's another one of those like very quotable lines from the movie where Peter Thiel's character says, that's two thus far, shooter. And shooter's like, oh, great. You can count. Good for you. And he says, and you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot. And the delivery on it is really good because it's still comedic during that. That exchange is good between the two of them.
Yeah, he has this like, I don't know if like English is his first language or what, but there's like a slight awkwardness to his delivery that makes it even funnier.
Yeah.
You know, like, but still, like, you could see like he's having so much fun in this role. It's really great.
Did I say Peter Thiel? That's someone. That's a musician, I think. Richard Kiel is his name.
Richard Kiel. Yeah. Peter Thiel is somebody else.
Yeah.
Anyway, so shooter makes his last putt, so he's got par. He's made par on this hole. Sandler has only made the one drive, so he has two more shots to tie it and go to sudden death, or he can make his last shot and win the tournament.
Yeah.
But this TV tower that Donald previously crashed into is unstable enough that it falls over completely, and it is now between Adam Sandler's ball and the hole. And again, the rule is like, well, you just got to play it as it lies. So he prays to Chubbs for help, and he does what he did on the mini golf course. He makes this impossible bank shot where he banks it off of the tower into the tower. It rolls down like some of the beams, and it goes into the ball or into the hole, and he wins. And Jaws chases McGavin off of the course with the rest of the crowd.
Happy Gilmore wins the gold jacket.
I believe that's Mr. Gilmore.
Yeah, because Shooter steals the jacket, the gold jacket, and tries to run away with it. And so, yeah, Richard Kiel chases him down, and him and, like, all of the other fans, like, just beat the crap out of Shooter. And, yeah, Happy gets the win. I want to just note, like, if anyone is listening and hasn't seen Happy Gilmore, like, I think they do a really good job of, like, turning up the tension in this last section of, like, the tournament, like the final hole and stuff. Like, they get into that, like, good sports movie tension for a little bit. Like, it's not there for the whole movie, it's not there for most of the movie, but when things get tight in the tournament, they do, like, manage to get that, to capture that.
Yeah, they do that sports movie thing where, like, you know, you in theory, you're supposed to go, okay, it's a lighthearted comedy. It's an Adam Sandler movie. He's got to win, right?
Right.
Yeah. But not necessarily, because often in sports movies, what constitutes winning is defined by, you know, what does that mean to for Happy Gilmore? A win is he keeps the house, not that he beats Shooter McGavin necessarily. Now, here he does. But, like, you know, the classic example, of course, being Rocky, where, like, you know, he wins by just going the distance. He loses to Apollo Creed in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but here, yeah, because sports movies have that built in, like, well, you know, a win isn't necessarily actually winning the game. You know, you don't know that it's going to turn out that way, even if, you know, probably it'll end up with some kind of a happy ending of some sort.
Yeah.
But we get our little denouement. They're back at the house, you know, Happy and Virginia and Grandma. And they're all going to go walk in there. You know, he's got his gold jacket on and they're going to toast to Chubbs. And we see this shot of him in the sky waving with the alligator and, for no reason, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's basically the end of the movie. They just walk in. That's it.
Yep.
Leonard Skinner plays in credits.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a very nice ending with that one final joke of Chubbs and the alligator and Abraham Lincoln waving to him from heaven.
Yeah. And the Abraham Lincoln thing, it's like the little person in the Happy Place.
Yeah. They're like, we need a third person up here. What would be funny? Abraham Lincoln.
I think they enjoy the idea of, like, we haven't seeded this idea earlier in the movie. It is truly out of left field.
Yeah, because they seeded the trick shot to win the tournament with doing that exact same shot at mini golf, like, 20 minutes earlier. So you knew that, like, oh, Happy's actually practiced this. He knows how to do this.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes to comedy stuff, like, I love that they are able to. This is very much a thing you see in Sandler movies where it's like, we're going to throw a real curveball at you out of nowhere just because we think it's fun to do that. And, they're very good at it with his, like, team.
Yeah.
So we're here at the end of the movie and, you know, Dave, I'll throw it to you. Why do you think it is that people still love, you know, I mean, obviously Adam Sandler has a catalog of well-liked movies, but this one is usually at or near the top of people's favorite Adam Sandler movies. Why do you think it is that people still love this one?
I think this number one, it's a well-made movie. Like, if you want to view it as a sports movie, it's a decent sports movie. It happens to be funny for most of it, and there's, like, no real tension until the very end. But I still think it's a decent sports movie. If you like sports movies, it follows a lot of, like, the predictable beats of sports movies too. But it also showcases Adam Sandler, like, in his comedic prime, I feel like he's got the right balance in this era. Like, this and Big Daddy, I feel like, have a really good balance between he can still do the man-child routine from time to time. He's sarcastic and funny in here. There's the parts where he loses it. He goes crazy, yells and fights people and destroys stuff. But like we said at the beginning, like this is Adam Sandler, like slightly moved out of like that complete childish character from Billy Madison and some of his SNL characters. So I think that it's like right in that sweet spot for Adam Sandler's like comedic persona, I feel like. And then giving this like complete fish out of water story of like this rough working class, like weirdo psycho playing golf, which is like the opposite place. Like, you never see people like this in golf. That's part of the comedy of it, is that it's golf. It's not him playing baseball or any other sport. Golf is like the golf and maybe tennis are like the most quote sophisticated of the sports that he could have played. But it's funnier if it's golf, because golf is, you have to be quiet and you have to follow the etiquette and all of this. And so putting Adam Sandler at this time in his career in that, it's just like, you know, just lightning strikes, like the perfect place, the perfect time, the perfect type of like setup for him and his comedic mannerisms at this time. And then like after this, you start to get a little bit more mature. Like Big Daddy is like a pretty sad movie for a lot of it. And then it gets more and more like that. And then you get into his, like, you know, his Netflix movie era and stuff after that. But I think when people...
And the less said about him playing Shadow of the Colossus to forget 9/11, the better.
Oh, yes. Jesus fucking Christ. Don't even get me started on that. I will not be returning to the show to talk about that movie. So I think, like, when people think of Adam Sandler's prime, they think of that run that we've been talking about. The Billy Madison, The Waterboy, this movie, Big Daddy, maybe Mr. Deeds, but that's as far as most people would take it. But this is right in the middle of it. It's not as silly as Billy Madison or The Waterboy, but it's not as, like, sad as Big Daddy. I think this is, like, that right balance. And I really think that a lot of it is just, like, the really simple premise of, what if Adam Sandler was this like man child who was forced to play golf with a bunch of high strung golf people, you know?
Right. There's just a special place for sports movies in general. I think people love sports movies, and there's relatively few sports comedies.
Yeah.
and definitely in terms of golf, like there's very little, but there's something about, like, even if you're not a golf fan, this movie is easily accessible for anyone. You know, you don't have to give a shit, two shits about golf to love this. But there's something about, like, this world of, like, sports movies. Like, when you think of, like, say, sci-fi movies, there's, like, a list of, like, you know, these are the big sci-fi movies you need to see in your life to feel like, okay, I've watched 2001 and I've watched Blade Runner and I've watched, you know, this, you know, that, and the other thing. And with sports movies, it's kind of like, yeah, you got to see, I don't know, Hoosiers, and you've got to see Rocky. And then, like, in terms of sports comedies, like, this is going to be way at the top of the list.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's this and Major League and stuff like that, I think, probably at the top.
Yeah, I think, you know, these, and it's telling because, like, I'm not a big sports guy. I enjoy sports when I watch it, but I'm not someone who, like, tracks any particular team or sport much. But I can still get behind a sports movie because of what they usually, the kind of themes they speak to and what they represent. And here you do actually get both. Like, for as goofy as this is, kind of the, like, the you know, 10% of it that is meaningful or serious, like, works. Like, it all works together. It's a great package. So thank you for helping me fill in this little blind spot in my catalog. So
yeah, happy to do so.
Yeah. Dave, if people want to find your awesome stuff, where do they find it?
Okay. So I do two podcasts. Neither of them really talk about movies all that often. The one that does talk about movies sometime is called A Top Three Podcast, where we do top three lists. One of our very early episodes, if you want to, like, brave the early episodes of people who don't know anything about making podcasts, we did top three Adam Sandler movies. It's like episode 5 or something like that. It's like very early on. We did do that. I think we've done something about sports movies. If we haven't, we should do it at some point. That's called a top three podcast. That is me and three of my high school buddies doing top three lists like we've been doing since high school, just in podcast form. What are podcasts if not just recording the things you've always been doing, right? So that's a top three podcast. And then I have another show called Tales from the Backlog, which is a lot more analytical. I use my brain a little bit more on that podcast. That is video games. Each episode is a video game breakdown, analysis, review type of thing. So if you like video games, every episode is a different game. And we go no spoilers for a while on each episode. And then we warn you when the spoilers start so you can stop listening if you don't want that. And as Doug said at the top of the show, he joined me for my initiation to the Monkey Island franchise with The Secret of Monkey Island. And that was a really good conversation we had. So if you're looking for a nice little place to start on Tales from the Backlog, that might be one to go check out.
Yeah, I'll just second what you said in terms of you know, just promoting your shows, because I enjoy both of those. They're great. And Dave also has a Patreon. So
I do, yeah.
Find that support him there. If you like our show, and of course Dave's shows, please leave reviews. That's the best thing you can do for any podcast you like, is go where you found it and drop a review, because that helps with visibility and increasing listenership. If you have feedback you want to send us, we're on the socials. I'll put links to Dave's spots on the socials as well as ours, but we're on all the major social media platforms, so that's where you would want to find us. If you have thoughts on our recent episodes, which in going back here, let's see, would be Led Zeppelin, before that was The Terminator, and before that was RoboCop. And coming up next, we're doing another sports movie. Actually, we're doing A League of Their Own, which is another great sports comedy. So I'm really looking forward to recording that. I'm not sure exactly what comes after that. I'm getting real far out ahead of my skis here. So, but good things as always. I'm talking to some folks about doing some other episodes. And we've got our big 100th episode now actually on the horizon, which is going to be about Friends. That is our most requested topic, actually, as people have asked us to do an episode on Friends. So that's going to be the 100th one. And I'm trying to plan something special for that. So we'll see if that comes together. But man, Dave, thanks again for coming by. This was an awesome time having just another conversation with you, bud.
Yeah, of course. Always a good time. I appreciate the invite back and your willingness. I want to commend you real quick. Your willingness to just, even if you have no nostalgia for the thing the guest wants to talk about, even if it's something you don't care about at all, like when we talked about Pokemon, your willingness to explore that with the guest is always great to hear. So I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thanks. I love doing it, and it's enjoyable for me to get to, like I said, with this one, experience something that maybe I didn't have nostalgia for, because to me it's more about the guest's experience than mine. But like I said, always a pleasure talking to you, Dave. That's good talking to you, and it's good listening to your stuff. So
yeah, thank you.
All right, everybody, so that'll do it for this one, and until next time, that is one more entry in the Nostalgia Arcana. You be the only
As you probably have guessed, Bob Barker and I haven't spoken with each other in many years.
That's right. Not since Happy Gilmore. Mm-hmm. But we know that providing schools and services for people with autism is too important.
Absolutely. So I'm hanging out here with Bob, helping him with his soup while his hip heals.
I do not need your help, Adam.
You told me the soup was hot, Bob. Let me help you.
That's disgusting. Come on. What's the matter, Bob? I'm fine. But you know, you are looking old.
Thanks for pointing that out.
How old are you, 60?
I think we're supposed to talk about autism, Bob.
You're looking chunkier than the soup.
That was a good one.
I guess doing all those movies without me took its toll.
Oh, that's what this is about.
If I had known that I had to toss your salad to be in another one, I would have. Mm-hmm. But Rob Schneider didn't send me the memo.
Okay. You know what? I think Price is Right is on now. We could watch that. Love the host. He's just so funny and not crotchety and angry. And
you know what else is great about him?
Tell me.
He's worked 25 years and never had to do the lobbity-doo, waka-waka-woo voice.
Yeah.
You know, like a desperate idiot.
Couldn't be nice, could you, Bobby, huh?
The soup is too hot.